but I want you to see red this morning, because as we go through the introduction to New Foundations, we want to focus our eyes on the areas of the world that have never heard the gospel. And so in my presentation this morning, I will take you through our ministry, but, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit more than what you'll see on the slides. And I got to be, whoop, where are we? Where are the slides? Are they coming?
They're coming.
There we go. So this is made just for you, all right? Charleston Bible Church. And I trust that you will gain something from this that will really touch your heart. For what God's doing around the world, I want to take you through, first of all, our mission. And by the way, I don't have a lot of pictures to show you like Brooks did. Brooks was so good about giving you slices of pictures, but some of the pictures that we have, I couldn't show you anyway because of the places we work in are what you call secure places, and we just can't let faces be seen. Our first purpose is to glorify God through the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And of course, that should remind you of what verse? Well, somebody said, I could hear faintly in the background there, Matthew 28, verse 19. No, Acts 1:8, right. You'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, both and in Samaria, and both and in to the ends of the earth. Very interesting that God is thinking about the whole world at the same time. So the way we do this is to try to equip indigenous leaders and church planters within the area that is closely associated with the unreached people groups, so that they are equipped with knowing the culture and knowing somewhat the language, or able to cross over into a language that is nearest to them. And we do that by equipping indigenous leaders. And I have a search committee. In fact, everybody at New Foundations has got a search committee. We are looking for Timothys. We're looking for faithful persons who will take the Word of God and teach it to others also. Because multiplication is best done by not one person trying to reach thousands, but I'm finding a Timothy, and that Timothy is finding two Timothys, and before you know it, we've got several thousand reached because they are faithful. We want to reach the last of the unengaged and the unreached. Now, I'm going to give you a definition shortly of the unengaged versus the unreached. So hold on to that. The unreached. Here's some statistics that are approximate. You'll go to several websites, Finishing the Task or Joshua Project, or there's many others, and you'll get different figures. But these are the numbers that I think come closest to reality. There's about 17,000 people groups around the world. of those, around 3,000 or 18% are unreached. And we're going to drill down a little further from that to the unengaged. So for those kids in here, when we talk about the unreached, we're talking about what color? Red. You're not a kid. No. Maybe you are a kid. Okay. So we're looking at that area of the world, which is what we call the 1040 window, where most of the unreached people groups are located. Does anyone know if there are any unreached people groups here in the United States?
Washington, D.C.
Okay, yeah. You got a point there. There's actually four. There are four people groups in the U.S. that have never been reached with the gospel. So that little interpretation I gave you before, both and, we've got to think not only of the 1040 window in that red area, but right here in the green area, there are unreached people groups. What about the population? We need to kind of think of how does this translate in the population? There's over 7.5 billion people in the world. That's got a few zeros behind it, right, kids? But of that, the unreached, which includes the unengaged, 1.36 billion people. That's a lot of people. All right, well, let's go on. We need to drill down here. What is the definition of unreached versus unengaged? Unreached, there is less than 2% witness for Christ. But in the unengaged, there is no witness, no missionaries, no Bibles, no churches, and no believers. Well, that's a very interesting concept. Does anyone know the name of John Chu? No one has heard of John Chu?
Yes.
You have.
Yes.
Brooks, you have. All right. I won't give you many details, but John Chu had a passion to reach one of the unengaged people groups of the world. He went there, and he gave his life. We have no idea whether he will ever come back alive. The details that we do know indicate that he is not alive. But he wanted to take the gospel to those who had never heard. Is his life in vain? No, absolutely not. Because so often, those who have given their life, I think of many missionaries who have died on the mission field, and their lives ended with no evidence of fruit, and yet as God moved time along, that eventually they came to Christ. There was something about the witness just in the persons, the missionaries who came there with the gospel message, not only in word, but in life. I think one of the things that we distort a little bit is the fact that as a missionary, and I see about, oh, well, when we be at 80, 85 missionaries right here, your greatest witness is not what you say. Your greatest witness is the way you live. And so what God has done through John Chu in the Andaman Islands of East Indian Ocean between India and Thailand, we don't know. But God is going to reveal what he's done through a man who is willing to sacrifice his life for the sake of the unreached and the unengaged. Well, let's talk about the unengaged people groups. Now, I'm not telling you a lot about New Foundation. I'm telling you about things that matter to us. Unengaged, no witness whatsoever. The estimate is there's about 650 of these groups. And of that, 269 have a population of over 500. So you kind of get the idea that there may be some out there with a population of 10, 50, whatever. Total population of the unengaged is 5.7 million. Here, I remind you, these are estimates. We're not absolutely certain. You can get different numbers on different websites. But from the research I've done, I've tried to bring this all together so that we've got a fairly good number to work with. So how can they be reached? How do we reach those who have never heard? How do we find a way of getting the gospel to them? Let me tell you a little bit about what New Foundations has done. I will probably interrupt a bit of this with some stories and information that we have gone through. Whoops, let's go back before you get to that. We have a book that Tim Bunn, with a bit of my input, have put together. This resulted from training church planters and pastors and church leaders in Vietnam. And through that, the question was, how can we establish those that we're reaching that have never heard the gospel, how can we establish them in the gospel? And so Tim and I sat down and we took his thoughts and we massaged them a little bit and did some computer trickery, and we put together this book and came up with a tool that will take persons through the basic steps of being a believer. Now, I don't know if you can see that very clearly, but as I was saying to some yesterday, we start with the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the Holy Spirit. I want to stop right there and challenge you that your message to the unreached, those who have never heard the gospel, will be only as good as you believe in the authority of Scripture. And I'll repeat that because it's rather a radical thing to hear, but your ability to reach those who are unsaved is only as good as your belief in the absolute authority of the Word of God. And of course that applies too to the Holy Spirit, because after all, he's the author, isn't he? I was in Laos, probably in 2011-12, I can't remember the exact year, and I was there undercover, or as we say, under the radar, and I was training 22 pastors who were anxious to get the word out through Laos to those who have never heard in Laos. And Maybe some of you have seen this Bible cover that I carry my Bible in, and I was given one of these as a gift for teaching for a whole week. And I began to hear some stories of how some of the women who are pastors' wives and church planters' wives have lost their husbands because they have gone out in the villages and places where the gospel had never been heard, and they were killed. And so these wives are making Bible covers and all sorts of things to sustain their lives. That was not the end of the story. At the end of a week of intense training, I had a wonderful interpreter. But at the end of the week, the brother who had invited me to come wanted to give every single pastor there a T-shirt, and it had a cross on it as a commitment to carry the gospel wherever they go. And I was sort of observing as these men were taking their shirts off and putting this nice new T-shirt on, and they wanted to take a picture of everybody with their T-shirt on, and with, of course, with me in the middle, and this gringo. And there were three that were still struggling with putting the shirt on. I was just observing, and the pastor's wife who had me there was talking to them and sort of persuading them to put their T-shirt on. Well, I discovered that when they took their shirt off, their backs were ribbons of beatings that they had received from the authorities. That is the reality of being committed to take the gospel where it's never been heard. I've never experienced that. We're in a comfortable country, you might say. Yes, there's rising persecution, but we don't see things like that. And what impressed me about that was not so much that I had not suffered, but they cared about their message. And my question to you this morning is, how much do you care about the very thing that gave you eternal life? Because without the message really being personal to you, you will not make it personal to somebody else. It has to be that the power, as Paul says in Romans 1, that he was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so we implant that into those that we train. When Tim Bunn goes over to Myanmar, Burma, next week, he's spending 4 weeks with probably a group of 25 young people below the age of 25. And they leave that 4 weeks with a passion to pass on the gospel. They'll say, there's this unreached people group, we're going there, or we're going to that group. I was there in Myanmar. I've been there many times, but one time, forget the year. We were at the end of the week, and we were getting them to share their strategy and where they were going, and we listed all the unreached people groups on the whiteboard. And a man stood up, wait, I've been to that group. There's a church there. So instead of being 51, we had 50. And by the way, you know what the number is now? 47. Because these young people are committed to going to them, sacrificing family. Many have come from Buddhist families, and they've been basically rejected by their own family, but they don't care because they have the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. So in taking them and others through this training, we prepare them with the basics. You can see up there, there is a good overview of what the gospel really is, from baptism, being a member of the church, the Lord's Supper, knowing how to study the Bible through observation, meditation, discussion, and then application. We often take our Bibles and, well, this morning I was reading in Lamentations 4. Well, does that have any application to me? Oh, yeah. Sure did. Would you like to read my notes? You see, all of the Word of God has application to our lives. Amen. And that is the way that we become established. So we've got two pictures there, a tree with a stake or stakes, and then a tree without a stake bearing fruit. And our purpose is that we come alongside these new believers or young church planters or pastors, and we stake them up, help them to be strong in the truth of the gospel, so that eventually, may I say, within 4 weeks, they can be standing on their own. Then we teach them the principles of the house of God. Your life in Christ, your life with Christ. And of course, I went over that in more detail yesterday morning, so I won't do that now. Having a quiet time with the Lord. Tim was in Israel in July, and he was meeting with some Chinese pastors. And they got to this point in the book, and he says, "I'm just too busy. I can't spend time alone with the Lord. I've got too much to do." And I want to repeat a quote by somebody that I've read over the years. And he said, "If you're too busy to spend time with Jesus, there's something in your life that is not the will of God." I'm going to repeat that. If you're too busy to spend time with Jesus, there's something in your life that is not the will of God. So Tim said to him, "Okay, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to have you spend 5 minutes every morning reading and praying. And we're going to start a certain place." I forget where he said that we're going to do it. And he says, "We'll talk at the end of the week." This man was a Chinese pastor. And he came back to Tim at the end of the week. He says, "I have never been so refreshed in all my life." You want energy, spiritual energy. You want God to equip you for that next encounter with Jesus, because of being with Jesus, your next encounter with somebody who's never heard, That time with the Lord will prepare you for that encounter. You cannot be ready without being with him, because he's the one that brings to life the gospel message. So through that, we go into the family of families, and then as we say, all to maturity and some to leadership. And that goes into God's plan for his church. What about our translations? Over the years, we've translated GPHC, God's plan for his church, into over 30 languages. Now, some were in the second, third revision, some were in the fourth. But in this, one of the little boys, who can help me out here? Quick. I think that young man over there, what's your name?
Jay.
Oh, yeah, my grandson. Would you go back and get one God's plan for his church and one God's plan for his disciple? Bring it up to me. Mitch, your name ain't Jake. Come on, we got to disciple these kids to know how to read. You buddy. Okay. Thank you, Jake. I really appreciate it. So that's fine. Thanks so much. So this one's in about 30 languages and growing. This one currently is in about 8 languages and growing. So we're really encompassing so much of the world, and you can... What happened?
I think you went one slide too far.
I went one slide too far. Really? Well, let's see what happens. Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Thank you. Is that the right one? Yes, it is. Okay. So English, of course, is around the world. The Americas, we're growing in our work in Central America, and we've just been told that there might be an open door in Cuba. We've been working in Nicaragua and Ecuador. What a thrill. In fact, 2 weeks ago, there was a dear brother, Timothy, a faithful Timothy, who graduated 12 disciples from this book, and they're so excited because they feel now that they are equipped to go out and evangelize. Mandarin. We've been working in China. So do you think we always have to go to China to train the Chinese? No. Taiwan, Israel, and many other places where we find Chinese. In fact, they will come from China because of the current political situation. They'll come somewhere else to be trained. Burmese and Chin in Myanmar, which is the same thing as Burma. We have a Timothy there that is, I met him in 2009. He was the most timid man I had ever met. And this man has translated every revision that we've done since 2009. He is very passionate about spreading the gospel and reaching the unreached. Vietnamese, not only is it the Vietnamese, but the Hmong and the Lao and the Dao and the Coho, which are in process, but Timothy there is determined to get into the unreached people groups of southern China. Urdu, for some time we had hope to get into Pakistan. And Tim Bunn applied for a visa and nope, couldn't get in. But Through this brother, it looks like we're going to get into Pakistan and northern India with the Urdu language. Arabic, we have two persons who are translating GPH D and GPH C. They'll both be done by the end of the year, printed and ready to be used in the Middle East. And other places where Arabic is spoken, parts of North Africa, and also the Russian translation is in process. These things are very exciting to us. But I want to include you. Let's see if we can make this work. Go. Go and make disciples. We would love anyone to participate in what we're doing, but you can go right from where you are. I have no question in my mind that South Carolina has got some people that need to hear the gospel. Are you going? I'm glad that this church has inspired me because of the things that you're doing, but there's people who like to sit in the back rows, like your pastor. Just don't be in the line of vision, so you don't pick on me. Well, I'm going to pick on you anyway, because I believe God wants to use this church in a mighty way to reach the unreached. All to maturity. How many of you are content with where you are? Raise your hand. You're content with where you are. What? Let me redefine that, okay? Are you content where you are spiritually? Okay? That was a trick question. I didn't want to pick on you, but you're good pickings. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand, because I hope you're not satisfied. Paul was not satisfied. He wanted the church in Ephesus for all of them to become completely mature in Christ. Now, are we all getting into leadership? No. That is something that God is doing over time. He's equipping and selecting those who are able to go on to leadership. And in that vein, let me quickly go over this since my time is evaporating. First and foremost, we find faithful indigenous hungry leaders, those who really want to understand the Word of God and be able to use it effectively in their culture, in their circumstances. That's why we call this training a supercultural, timeless way of reaching the unreached and unengaged. Take them through a four-week training. That is the best way to do it. There are sometimes we introduce it over three days or a week, but usually we try and do a four-week training. It's most effective. And then help them to develop their own strategy of reaching the unengaged, unreached in their culture or in the culture nearest to them. And then send them out through the local church. Acts 13, Antioch. Are you an Antioch church?
Yes.
Good. I finally got an answer. You want to be an Antioch church that you're looking and praying for persons that you can send out through the indication of the Holy Spirit. and through prayer and fasting. Do not underestimate what God would do. Very quickly, here's our purpose for GPHC. Train indigenous leaders to use biblical timeless principles that transcend culture and time, helping to plant and establish strong churches that are self-supporting, self-propagating, and renew existing churches. I would venture to say that there's hardly a church anywhere in the world that doesn't need to be renewed. And I would include CBC. I hope this has helped to understand that the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. Don't worry about all the prophets out there that are prophesying about when the end will come. You look at Matthew 24:14. And by the way, who knows the meaning of the word nations?
People.
People groups. Ethnos. Yes. So that relates to the 17,000 plus. Right? Okay. What is the end goal? What are we striving for? Will somebody with a good, clear, loud voice read that verses from Revelation?
After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
Can you imagine some of these unreached, unengaged people groups? You will stand beside them in heaven and you're going to sing with them, and you won't be out of tune either. I'm always out of tune. Ask my wife. What a moment that will be when we'll be together with every tribe and tongue and nation and people. What glory. I want to push you. Someone said, only if I could push the saints into heaven so they could hear the sound of heaven. Can you hear it? Every time someone come to Christ, heaven is aglow with praise for one more soul. Father, move our hearts. Help us to be very unsatisfied with where we are. Help us to be uncontent with our growth. Help us to be desiring with all our heart that we be those who are in some way facilitate getting the gospel to where it's never been heard. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of Christ that is working together. May you inspire them. May you move them in the direction that you want them to go, so that that last people group that has never heard hears clearly who Jesus is. In his wonderful and precious name, amen.